Father, we praise you and we thank you for this time as we fellowship in your word, O God. We pray that your word will do what it needs to do, that it will not return void, God, that none of us in this church right now will have the power or even have the desire to stop what you want to do. So, Spirit of the living God, have your way in us, have your way through us. In Jesus' name, we do pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Today, we want to talk about, I do not have to live like this. I do not have to live like this. We're not talking about the neighborhood. We're not talking about the condition of your house. We're talking about your spiritual condition. It's about time some of us in the body of Christ got mad about living the way we live it. Oh, hello. About time some of us got ready, look in the mirror and say, I don't have to live like this. I'm living beneath my privileges. I'm living beneath my promises. I do not have to live like this. As a matter of fact, I'm tired of living like this. Because I live like this, I think everybody knows I don't even want to come to church. This thing is on me so bad, I think everybody can see it. I do not have to live like this. I am a Christian. I belong to Jesus. I've got some authority. I've got some power. And I do not have to live like this. I don't have to do what I used to do to get what I need from God. If I got to do what I used to do, then I don't need God. Somebody help me, please. I don't have to live like this. I'm going to exercise my spiritual authority. Tired of folks in the neighborhood calling me a hypocrite. Talking about why you go to church if you do the same thing I do. I thought you said you got released from that stuff. I thought you got, you know, you are out of bondage. I thought your bondage was broken. But what happened? See, when a person becomes a Christian, a major transformation of that person's spiritual being, their spiritual life takes place. It is a continuous spiritual transformation that, if allowed to through the Holy Spirit, will begin to manifest him or herself in the natural being. And see, it's a transformation that's continual. So don't believe, don't think that overnight success is going to happen for you. But what I like, I think I was talking to Minister Mitchell earlier, what I like about it, it's already there. Amen. God has already purchased it. It's there. We just have to learn how to access it. And we're just like a little child. Some things we're trying to reach for. God said, you're not ready for that yet. As a matter of fact, you need to take stuff on this shelf first, because what's on this shelf builds a foundation for what's on the next shelf. See, if you take the next shelf and you don't have the right foundation, you're going to mess up. Somebody needs to tell the neighbor, please be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. I know you all deep, you all sanctified, you looking good, smelling good, sounding good, and I'm not there yet. Please be patient with me. Amen. God is still working anywhere. I know I'm not up to your standard, but I made a mistake one day. I started using the Bible for my standard. Oh, I stopped using people for my standard. I began to use the Bible for my standard. Because when I start using people for my standard, I got messed up, because in my sin, I said, but at least I don't do what they do. Oh, my. He a pastor. At least I don't do what he do. That don't make your sin no cleaner. You just rationalizing some mess in the natural. See, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul also wrote the book of Romans. He says, therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Didn't say might be. Didn't say ought to be. Didn't say like in 20 minutes later, might, you know. No. Old things are passed away. Now somebody help me, you English majors. Perfect past tense. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My God, as soon as I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he sends a sanitation truck to my lot. And they begin to take the trash, even some of the stuff I'm trying to hold on to. Lord have mercy. throw some stuff out and you still see the space where it was? The Bible says get something as soon as you can to put in that space. Because if you get rid of that devil, if you don't put nothing in the space, that devil go get seven more worse than that. That's eight coming back. You got rid of one, eight coming back at you. But somebody needs to understand, when you're in Christ, you are a new creature. You don't have to live like that no more. My Lord. You got power to break some stuff off you. And I'm not going to make the mistake and say, you don't sin, because this chapter in Romans is not talking about not sinning. It's talking about giving you power over sin. And see, what Paul was trying to say, grace was never meant to give you a license to sin. Grace was given to give you power over sin. See, power over sin is like when you tell yourself, I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to do that. What grace says, then tell yourself, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sin no more. I'm not going to do that no more. You have to talk to yourself. You have to begin to speak to yourself because you make up your mind about a whole lot of other things. And there's some things you just won't do because of the consequences. I'm sitting at the red light, but the man next to me in the right lane, he went through the red light. But I noticed what he did before he went through the red light. He tried to look around and make sure he didn't see no cars, ain't see no other cars coming. You see, folks don't just run red lights because of the consequence. You might get an accident. You might get hurt. You might get a ticket. And see, we somehow have numbed the consequence of sin. I got somebody that won't go through a red light, but they'll stay in sin. See, the consequences of this thing. We go around talking about, God know my heart. We have to actually ask ourselves, am I enjoying this sin to the point where I don't want to give it up? Oh, I wish I had some help up in here today. Amen. Sometimes we like what we into so much, or we've been in it so long, that we don't see no way out because you're looking at it naturally because you don't want to give it up. Therefore, that spiritual part of you cannot see what you don't want to give up because you don't want to see it that way. Oh, my God. So you got more power over your life than you really think. My God, my God. I don't have to live like this. I'm sorry. Look, when you begin to dig in that word of God and find out what God promised you, you can say, hey, hold on. No. I don't know. I don't have to look like this. I don't have to walk around depressed, oppressed, suppressed. I don't have to be mad. I don't have to get a drink to get happy. I don't have to snort before I go to court. Your life has been changed. A change has come over me. Come on. All those, see, we deep because we like the stuff we do. We're not ready to give it up. If we were ready to give it up, we'd give it up. Go to the doctor. Doctor say, don't eat this, don't do that, because it's bad for you. So for a week. I might be guilty too. For a week. I couldn't say that in front of y'all. Y'all pray for me. But you know, but when we see the negative consequences of not being obedient to the instructions of our physician, then we want to stop. But sometimes by the time we see the negative consequences, stuff is already taking place. See, that's what the enemy does. Sin is pleasant for a season. But by the time we see the effects of sin on us and our children, some of that stuff is so doggone deep-rooted. And we just let that thing just keep on going on and on. Well, maybe I just go to church. You got to do more than just go to church. You got to be the church. We go sitting in church like the pastors or preachers gonna come by with some goober dust. You have to be able to receive what thus saith the Lord. I mean, it's good to be around it, because the truth of the matter is this. You can be around the fire and get warm. But if you don't put your marshmallow in, it won't never get toasted. Oh, I wish I had a witness. See, y'all. Yeah, your steak for dinner tonight could be around the stove. So y'all don't like marshmallow. I had to go right to the meat. Yeah, we advanced. No marshmallows. They can sit around the stove, but the meat ain't going to get cooked. I love when I see you in church, but the church got to get in you. If you want God to begin to work in your life, you got to open the door and let God in. It's not about the stuff we do. It's when we let God in, what God has done for us. I know how it works. We can sing and not be saved. We can preach and not be delivered. Because gifts come without repentance. But why do I want to live beneath my blessings? I'm going to stand up here lost and preach and teach you about the bountiful blessings of God and not get any of it for myself. There's something wrong with that. But some people do that. They just go through the motions. They go through the motion. They call motion Christians. They just go through the motion. Ain't nothing to them. Just as empty. But I don't have to live like this. Not tough. I ain't got to live like this. No. And all the folks that used to know me in the past, you know, that's cool. Go ahead. That's what you knew. But you don't know me now. What did Mr. Mitchell say last week about, don't call me Shadrach, Meshach? He said he went to his old neighborhood and they started calling old names, and I ain't that no more. You can call me that all you want. As a matter of fact, I remember what it meant, but it don't mean that now. Because there's a transformation going on in my life. And because you haven't been around me, you may not notice it. You may not see it. Or as a matter of fact, you may not even want to notice it. But guess what? I need to notice it. Because it's working for me. I'm no longer arguing with people why I serve Jesus and why I pay my tithes and why I pay my offerings and why I'm always sitting in church. Y'all always in church. It works for me, baby. It works. It ain't got to work for you. You not me. Man, I see that. Remember that work? I don't think you spent $60 on a Bible. I said, I don't think you spent $60 on a shirt that don't look good on you. It's all in what you want to do. It's all in your perspective. Why are you mad about my money? Folks, you be right next to somebody. You write down your title. You get a church, all of them. Well, you mind your business. When the last time you went to the bank and put some money in my account? Folks, oh, you love your pastor, you love your company, you love your church. Yeah, I love my church. I used to love a bar. I used to love cocaine. I used to love the drugs. I used to love just sleeping around here. You mad at me because I transferred my love. Because when I was on the other side of love, you was getting in on it. You were blessed by my mess. But now, since I transferred it, now that my love has requirements, now that my love has been refined, you can't stand me now. Watch out who your friends are when you're down and out. When you got money, you got lots of friends. Come around. Let's go to so-and-so house. They got the liquor. Folks got a lot of nerve. They come and bring 10 other folks you don't even know. Y'all heard a lot about it, yeah. Yeah. They smile and say, they don't like you. They can't even say your name. I don't have to live like this. God got something better for me. I don't have to be a victim of my own stuff that I've been going through all my life. There comes a point in your life, you need to go back over your life and say, you know what? This happened to me when I was little, and this happened to me when I grew older, and my mother did this, and my father did this, and my uncle did this, and my aunt did this, and my grandmama did this, and my grandmama did that. There comes a point in time you say, guess what? This stuff will no longer control my life. Somebody here, somebody got a control button on your life. And they love it. They love having that kind of, they know exactly what to do to get you to go off. Know just how to control you. That's what the drug dealer does, don't they? That's what they give you a little bit first. The devil give you a little bit first. Just so you get the taste. Just so you can get it in your system. And what it gives you makes your system feel that you really need more of it. That's what the enemy does. The enemy says, look, since you were born into sin, you believe that stuff about Jesus, right? Now, come on, let me show you some more stuff. Let me show you how to get rich quick. Let me show you how to steal from your parents. Let me show you how to get over your family. Let me tell you how to act a fool in school. So anybody can love you and accept you. No, you ought to be trying to get into college somewhere. You ought to. And stop telling your children, but I did the same thing. Don't tell them that. If you tell them that, give them an explanation behind it. I did the same thing. I got a scar on my face and a scar on my butt and a scar on my ankle. And I just, come on, son. And I messed this up and I messed that up. And I had to go back to home plate and strike again. I was on third base and I let some man come in and talk some crap to me. Sweet talked me out of all my money and everything.
Who got the liquor?
Yeah, but you know, it's a... I'm saying, who got the drums? You ain't got no money. You flat, broke, messed up. You looking for a freebie. And you got your house all over there. Yeah, we having fun up in there. Yeah, well, you know. But then when God speaks to your life, you begin to clean your life up and begin to shut stuff down. Boy, they hate you. They want to burn your house down. They call you every name they can think of. But when you had that mess, was messing their life up and your life, when you were financing them, they loved you. When you start pulling back and financing your own life, they hated you. One of the main things that hampers or impedes the process of our Christian transformation is the power of sin. Sin is powerful. One commentary says sin is so powerful. If it wasn't so powerful, then why do you think when Adam and Eve sinned, the entire human race fell into it? That's powerful. That's powerful. That's like the movies they make where a disease comes to the town. Everybody without the suit on get messed up. I don't understand the movies. Everybody in the city that don't have a suit on get contaminated. Give everybody a suit. Boom. I'll write the next movie. They walk around. You got to get out of here. They got a suit on. Don't knock them out doing no suit on stuff. I got out of here. No, you got to give me your suit. You get out of here. I can't watch that stuff. They got all the stuff on. They had a big meeting in 20 minutes. This whole area will be contaminated. What do we do with the people? I don't know. Who shall go for us? Give me a suit. I'll go. Y'all got to leave. I'm not a violent person, but you come to my door with a suit on, tell me the place contaminated, I gotta leave. I'm gonna bust you up and take your suit, okay? Me and my wife, my kids, whoever in the house, we're gonna fit in that suit.
And we're going to be looking at you. You got to get out of here. You got about 10 more minutes.
I don't care what size suit it is.
I'll shriek up if I got to look at it.
Y'all shouldn't laugh because I got some really good stuff in here. As we look at Romans 6, there's 3 points we really want to focus in on. Number one is baptized into Christ. Number two is raised up with Christ. Number three is the believer's power over sin's power. Number one, baptized into Jesus or baptized into Christ. Number two, raised up with Christ. And number three, the believer's power over sin's power. Because 1 John tells us if you say we don't sin, we're a liar. So I'm not saying that we don't sin. I'm saying there's power over sin that we have. We can exercise our authority. Amen. We don't have to fall into everything. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Baptized into Christ. Look at Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? And that's because, go back to Romans 5, 20. In Romans 5, 20, Paul's writing to the people at Rome. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Somebody took that and said, oh, if I sin, the more I sin, the more grace I get. See, if you don't have a spiritual understanding, you think like that. The more I sin, so Paul in Romans 6 said, oh, no. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Anybody that's not spooky in here, which dead person is still messing with you? That's why I said, because some people think dead people come back and mess with them and they moved into my dresser last night. And come on. That's why I want to know the people that aren't spoofed. But it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, if you're dead to something, how can a dead person still report to work? That's all Paul is saying. How can a dead person still be walking all around in your house? You buried them. You had a funeral. You had a home going. They buried. And he says, if you're in fact dead to sin, through the power of your relationship through Jesus Christ, then how shall you live any longer therein? Look at verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? And that word baptized means washed or dipped in. And it's a good thing it's spiritual because some folks may not have their water baptism yet. And nothing wrong with water baptism. It is an outward show, an outward expression of an inner conviction. So I don't want anybody to leave me and say, well, since I haven't been immersed in the water yet, No. When you've been washed in Christ, spiritually washed in Christ, when you've been spiritually dipped in Christ, you were baptized into his death. That means everything that was wrong with you, everything that was wrong with me, past, present, and future, went down. Everything went down. Look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. We were buried by him, buried with him by baptism into death. What's died? The natural, the old man is being crucified. The old nature, the natural part is being crucified. We are spiritual beings. So what God is doing through Jesus Christ is taking that old nature, which makes us do the wrong thing. He's crucifying that, reducing it and as power, relegating it as powerless so we can live unto God. Because the last part of that verse says, we'll get to it in the second point, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. And he's saying, when we talk about baptism, we talk about Jesus Christ going down. When we talk about his resurrection. He said, because we united with him, because we did the same thing he did, not saying that we are in fact Jesus, but we are participants in this whole process. Therefore, whatever happened to Jesus, God said, I'm going to do it for you. That when you come up out of the water, or when you come out of that dead state, your natural person is supposed to stay dead. Your spiritual person comes to life. Therefore, you walk in this newness of life because now you're walking in the spirit and not walking in the natural. Paul's trying to paint a nice, clear picture for them. Paul is saying, let that natural person stay dead. The things, the toys, whatever the natural person likes, get rid of them. Because if you don't, you're going to start feeding that natural person. Because when you water him, when you feed him, when you play around with him, he will raise up. You will put a life back into that which was already dead. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. See, if we've been planted together, I mean, we've been hooked up with him. We're planted together like my arm is locked in Jesus' arm. Come on. And we've been planted together with him in the likeness of his death. We should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So not only were we baptized into his death, we're raised up with Christ. My question to you today, what did Christ get up with? On Resurrection Sunday, what did he get up with? I guarantee he did not get up with all that mess he took down. He got it with all what? So when you and I die with him, when we take the natural death, what are you and I getting up with? Power over the penalty of sin. Power over the detrimental, destructive properties of sin. But see, if you don't feed our spirit person, we shall be weak. We will go get the drugs. We will go get the liquor. We will go get another woman. We will go get another man. We will go mess up our marriage and mess up our money. Talk about, I can't help myself. Because we have not been feeding our spirit person. The spirit person needs to be fed in order that the spirit person might become strong and strengthened so that the spirit person can tell that old man, look, you better be glad I let you stay here. Because when Christ come back, I can get rid of you totally. But until he come back, I'm going to let you, as long as you be cool, go down all the way under the basement. And don't come up till I tell you. And don't even listen for me to tell you because I ain't going to tell you. Because when you had me, you almost killed me. You messed my life up. You messed my marriage up. You messed my family up. You messed my mind up. You messed my heart up. You messed my spirit up. And I told myself, if I ever got away from your no good, low down, nasty, that I would never let you do that to me again. You got to speak to that thing. We're spirit now. And the spirit tells the old nature what to do. Spirit don't worry when I'm talking about, you know, I'm weak. But the spirit say, greater is he. And you got to tell yourself that sometimes. When you're on your way to get in trouble, let the spirit speak to the spirit say, don't go there. Who do you think that is talking to you? But the Spirit of God is mannerable. Some of us need somebody. You need a Spirit of God, you know, like a gangster. I said don't go. You know, we need that. But God, I'm suggesting you just get a video camera of what the nature did to you before you became a Christian. And before you go get in trouble, just look at it. Just take 5 minutes and just play it. Just sit down, play it. Just press the button. You won't go there because you say, God, I thank you. Because I was trying to kill myself. I was trying to destroy myself, God. I tried to do things my way and I was not blessed. So if I'm baptized into his death, when I raise up like Christ. I raise up with power. I raise up with the power of my salvation. I raise up with freedom. I raise up with liberty. I tell the old nature, I ain't got to live like this no more. You got to tell folk that. You got to tell yourself that. Look in the mirror sometimes. You might not like what you see right now, but you're becoming. We are becoming brand new. Old things are past. You got to tell yourself, that stuff is gone. You might see remnants of it around your house. Give the trash man time to get up in there. That stuff is going. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can and will transform and change your life. And guess what? You get better at it. The more you tell that old man no, the easier it is for you to tell the old man no. Come on, sisters, y'all know what I'm talking about. No. 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 No, folk be messing with you, folk be calling you. Look, I don't do that no more. What? Let them be upset. You got your freedom. You ain't got to be upset. Go ahead. Let them go ahead. You know, that's all right. I know it's all right because you ain't got no money. You can see, look, I've been raised up. I'm raised. That's why they talk about raise the praise. Because I'm raised up. And stop beating yourself up for what you've already been through in your life. The fact that you're still here means God's somewhere in your life. Pack up that stuff and then archive it somewhere. Put it away. Don't let it continue to haunt your future. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. My God. You know what it means to serve sin? Serving sin. My God. Not only are you sinful, you serving it. You want to watch your medium rare? Or well done? Or you want the blood running? Serving sin. When you go to a restaurant, they have wait staff. Their job is to serve you. And Paul is trying to let the folks know you are serving. You got the whole doggone uniform on. You got a pencil and paper in your hand. How can I serve you some sin? Sin is so much stuff. And you'd be like, do you cook at the order? God has said, no, I saved you from all that. You don't have to go to that restaurant anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. And your family going to talk about you. Your friends going to talk about you. Your spouse might talk. Let them talk. Because when I was messed up, they were talking about me too. He ain't going to be nothing. He ain't never going to be nothing. He ain't going to be no good. He ain't going to be nothing. The kids ain't going to be no good. Time you start getting your life together, oh my God. They upset because now what God is doing in your life makes them look like they ain't nothing. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't never had. All they had was a few more dollars than you had. They wasn't. Money is useful, but it does not make that you not anything. Because you poor don't mean you're not anything. We got to get out of that thing. People, you know, just say, oh, I have this and have that. That don't mean they're more blessed than you. There's a lot of people that are filthy rich and they are so unhappy. There's a lot of doctors' children and people, millionaires' children. You know what they're doing? They're going around taking prescription drugs and stuff and going to school and writing scripts for other people. That's not happiness. That's serving sin. Because somebody told us the American dream was get rich and everything be all right. I come to let somebody know, get rich and get Jesus and everything will be all right. Get Jesus and get rich. Because then you know what to do with your money. Because you got to be a good steward over your life. You got to be a good steward over your money. You got to be a good steward over your kids. How are you going to raise your kids up if you don't know nothing yourself? All my mama ever told me. Your mama actually thought that you would take what she told you and build on it. She ain't think you're going to stop there. I don't have to live like this. I don't know about you, but I'm like, look, I'll be reading the word of God. I say, hallelujah. I ain't living like this no more. I'm a blessed man of God. I want my family to be blessed. I want the church to be blessed. I want everybody around me to be blessed. And if you don't like who I serve, that's your problem. I tell folks, you people come to your house, they talk about your house. Well, look, where you want me to meet you? Buy me what you want me to buy, what you need me to have. You think I can have a different couch? Okay. Come on. Thank you. He said, that's how you just get folks. You ain't got to cuss at them or nothing.
You'd be all mad. They came to my house. They talked about my house. They ain't like my house. I say, oh, okay.
You got a better vision for my house, huh? You got to learn how not to get mad. Don't get all, people be all messed up for a whole week. You got to call all your cousins, all your friends. Such and such came over here, had a name, talk, 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 talk. See, all you doing is perpetuating a mess. Drop it when you can. Just forget about that nonsense. Don't even dwell on it. Dwell on the things of God. Think on these things, says Paul in Philippians. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So you got to believe this in your mind. You got to believe this. When you leave here today, you got to know that you already died in Christ naturally and you're alive again spiritually. That things ought to look different to you. You ought to see things different. You are going to feel different. It's not weird. It's necessary for us to be victorious in this life. And don't let folks talk you out of it. You can love your family and they don't have to talk you out of your salvation. You can have friends. They don't have to talk you out of your salvation. It's your salvation. They didn't go down, come up. You did. God, I say to abandon your family. God say to make a stand. Take a stand for him. No matter how weird it is. And they will see it working. Some people in here, I tell you, your family came because you were consistent with Christ. They saw you getting up. They saw you getting ready for church. They saw you coming. They saw you were serious. At first, they thought you were playing. Because you and I, we the same people. We start stuff and we stop stuff. And we start stuff and we stop stuff. And when stuff gets messed up and we think God don't hear us, we stop coming to church. But this time was different because we were raised up in the resurrection and the power of Christ. I said, I don't care what happened. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to lift him up. And when they saw that you were consistent, when they saw that you were serious, they said, uh-oh. Some of y'all married people know what I mean. All of a sudden, your spouse got to, let me go see what they're learning down there. Come back here all skipping and happy. Talking about the Lord is good. Come in with all that noise and all that stuff, whistling and Dixie. I'm trying to watch my football game. You come in and mess up my game. Oh, you said, heard what happened in church today. I got one more quarter to go, baby. See, don't let them, see, sometimes you just got, some of the sisters like football too. You got to lead them there, right in front of the TV. Because right now, their salvation is football or sports or whatever they're doing. But when they see your consistency, when they see you coming, when they see you, you know, talking about what God did. Don't go home talking about what such and such had on. Don't go home talking about, please don't pass the priesthood law. They will never come. Oh my God, it's a long service. I was there for Sunday school. First they had 8:30 prayer. Then they had Sunday school. Then they had about four people do poems. Then they played about six songs. But when you at the club, when you're doing what you want to do, all I'm trying to say, you ought to want to do this. You ought to want to serve him. You ought to want to know him. So check yourself out. If church has messed you up and you've been to every kind of church, then check your salvation. We want everything rushed except the stuff that we like. And God is saying, hey, don't you love me? You just said you love me. We got power over this thing. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. What he's saying is, because Christ only had to do it one time. But when he transferred the power over to us, death or sin no longer has dominion. What he's saying is, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying because we are now raised with him, sin has no more power over our lives. My God. Look at verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. See, Jesus said, look, I did this thing once. You don't have to keep going back. You don't have to keep going back and forth. Don't let nobody tell you, oh my God, I did this. I ain't saved no more. No. Let nobody tell you that. Just get yourself together. What you need to do is grab your salvation and go have a talk with that old man, that old woman. Say, look here.
You done had enough years of my life. You done messed me up. You done made me marry the wrong man, the wrong woman. Come on, somebody. Got me drinking the wrong stuff. Got me snoring, got needles all up in my arm. You done had it. And I found out all you were trying to do was kill me. Well, guess what? I got somebody that said I'm worth something. He who was rich for our sake became poor that we through his poverty might. I got somebody that know everything I did and still love me. I got somebody that know everything about me and still love me. Still calling me worthy. Know my dirt, know my shame, and know my name, but still counting me worthy. You gotta talk to an old nature like that. I know somebody loved me. You might not love. I got somebody that loved me. I got the greatest love of all. You gotta begin to tell yourself who you really are. Then verse 11. Likewise, reckon. Now that word reckon means to credit. It's an accounting term. To regard, to think, consider, conclude. It means when you add it all up. When the balance sheet is added all up. You know about accounting. One side supposed to equal the other side. Otherwise, you got to use the parentheses. If you're in the black, if you're in the red, and all that stuff. Paul is saying, when you count it all up, when you summarize what you have in Jesus and what you thought you had in the natural, you need to count it all up and say, you know what? I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Because when you're raised with him, that word means to be restored from a dead or damaged position. So not only am I raised up to a restored position, I'm reconciling my life. And because all my sin doesn't really profit me anything, God paid for all that. My slate is in fact clean. So now I'm going to take advantage of this privilege of having a clean slate. Now I'm going to live my life for God. Now when I slip up and I trip up, come boldly to the throne of grace. Because now that I'm knitted with him, our arms are locked in each other. When I try to pull from him, I feel something pulling me back. Holy Spirit. Got the reins on me. I found out one day I had to live like this no more. I said, look here. I'm no longer chasing an empty dream. I'm no longer looking at stuff trying to get rich doing this, trying to be slick and all that. No, God said, you ain't got to do that. I got stuff for you. You my child. And you don't have to take me to family court for lack of support. My God. And I'm not trying to disown you. I just don't like the way you're living right now. I don't like the stuff you do. Because I can't bless your mess. I can bless you, but I can't bless your mess. What I can do is eradicate your mess. I can help you get rid of your mess through the blood of our Lord and say, my son is going to come down and help you. If you really want your life to change, let me know when you want your life to change. My son will come down and help you change it. If you're real serious, he'll come down and help you. Now you're going to get a little red now because the blood's going to come. If the blood's going to come and begin to clean up everything, I know you understand that stuff. Red blood makes something bright, white, clean, sanctified. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. When the Christian takes serious their relationship with God through salvation, through Jesus Christ, they begin to realize and understand that they have the authority and power to relegate sin in their lives' power. I didn't let somebody know today, I don't know what you're stuck in, I don't know what you're struggling with, but you don't have to be stuck in it, you don't have to be struggling with it. You got to tell yourself, I'm going to get up out of this thing. It may take me a month, it might take me a year, but every time, the more I move closer to Christ, the more I get out of that mess. Amen. You ever travel somewhere that was far, but the closer you travel there, you were so close, you said, I can't turn back now. I need somebody to know, God's been loving you too long. He's been hanging around your life too long for you to turn back now. He's about ready to bless you. He's about ready to deliver you. He's about ready to do what he promised you that he would do a long time ago. When you were a little kid in Sunday school, God was speaking to you. Now you just couldn't believe it because your life took a turn. Everything started going wrong in your life. Everybody started dying. Didn't nobody care about you. You became an orphan. Didn't nobody love you. They put you from house to house to house to house. But guess what? God kept you. Glory be to God. You are here today because God kept you in the midst of it all. God never abandoned us. I don't care who abandoned us. God never abandoned us. We abandoned him.
Salvation is more than going to heaven. Salvation is Jesus Christ as the believer's authority to live victorious in this life for the glory of God. There's some stuff that you and I are stuck in that's blocking your blessing. And God said, get out of that mess so I can finish blessing you. There's no way you can put your new furniture on top of your old furniture and ask somebody to come in and sit on it and feel comfortable.
Their feet ain't even on the ground.
You got stuff on top of stuff on top of stuff. God said, I ain't come to cover. I come to get rid of it. I can't get rid of something. I come to cover you in the blood, so I can't get rid of some stuff because I got some new furniture for you. I need to get rid of the old stuff. The old stuff is all messed up. I got this new stuff for you. I got this Holy Spirit. I got this mercy. I got this grace. I got the love. I want to move this stuff in your life so you can get rid of all that old stuff. Trying to take stuff and do stuff to make you happy. Trying to dress like you got it going on and you really torn up on the inside. Trying to make it you got all these friends and nobody even know your name. Trying to buy folk. You ain't have to live like that. Your freedom is in Christ. Live your life in Christ. I don't have to live like this no more. I am the head and not the tail. I wish somebody, anybody tired of all them soles on your face, footprints, they just walk all over you. Come and butter you up.
You always been the nicest to me.
You got so used to it when they come in, what you want? What do you want? But when you stop giving, you the worst person in the world. They might call you a few names as they're running out the door, but they know you can still clock them.
Just because you say it don't mean you can't clock them.
Brother Dennis, take that off the tape, man. I don't know about you. What you have to do is look at Romans 8:18. For I reckon
is an accounting term. You're going to reconcile and balance this whole, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. That means that which we've been through does not even have the ability to be compared to what I'm getting. Oh, my God. What God has in store for me can't be compared to what I've been through. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
What do you mean shall be revealed? That means it's already there. Because when you reveal something, you don't make it up. It's already there. If I had a painting up here today with a cover over it, I'd take the cover off, I'd reveal it. Because my salvation.
I'm above and not beneath. I know you don't think that way about me. But look, stop trying to convince people who you are. Just walk in it. Hallelujah. Just walk in your victory. Walk in your newness of life. Hallelujah. Oh, she thinks she's somebody. You ain't seen nothing yet. Cause I don't think, for I reckon that the stuff that I'm going through now ain't going to be nothing. You wait till Jesus get back. You think you don't like me now? Stop trying to get anybody like you. In Christ, I'm brand new. Great is he that is in me, the he that is in the world. I have liberty in Christ Jesus. Anybody here been redeemed? I've been washed. See, that ought to mean something. See, in America, we're so blessed, we don't even know what that means. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The things I used to do. The places I used to go. The way I used to think. All that is being changed. In Christ and because of Christ, I am a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A change has come over me. Y'all better watch out because he's working on me. And he's working in me. Let your family know. Send out a text. Tweet them. Let them know. I'm changing. God is changing me. Let them know. I'm saying, let them know. Let them know. When you got money, you let them know. Let them know you got Jesus. And I'm serious. Tell them, I'm serious this time. Y'all messed me up before.
had me, you know, I came told you I got saved. Y'all talking about what you get saved for. Them churches ain't no good. All they want is your money and all that. You let them talk you out of your business. You look here. And then look at them and look at yourself. You're sitting in a mess. I'm trying to come out of a mess. If you're sitting in a mess and I stay with you, I'll be sitting in a mess with you. But if I leave you and go get what I need from Jesus, I'll be out of a mess. And maybe I can help you get out of your mess. But I'm tired of sitting here with you in your mess. Because both of us sitting here crying. Kids running all around, pampering needs to be changed. Ain't got no motivation. Don't know how to cook nothing and still order everything from the stove. Ain't got no family. Jesus will restore all that. And no matter what you've been through today, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, no matter how it happened, God is a forgiving God. And you need to understand that today. Stop trying to tell yourself, once I finish doing this, doing that, then I'll come join the church. No, God, He works and He specializes in our mess. As we stand all over God's house, God is saying to some persons today, come on down front, give your life to me. I specialize in the situation that you're in. You can't frighten me. You can't scare me. You can't mess me up. You can't blow my mind. I don't have to call no board meeting. Whatever you got, God said, bring it to me, and I will deal with it, and I will bless you, and I will bless your life, and I will restore you, and I will raise you up. As long as you die to yourself, I will raise you up out of this situation. The doors of God's house are now open. And if you're here this afternoon, come on. Didn't even talk about church membership yet. Talked about giving your life to Christ. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, my sister. God bless you.